Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Sterling Tools Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pankaj Gupta, Group CFO. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of STL Group, I extend a very warm welcome to our Q1 FY25 earnings call. Today, I'm joined on this call by Mr. Atul Agrawal, our Managing Director, Mr. Jaideep Wadhwa, Director, Mr. Anish Agrawal, Director, and our advisors, Investor Relations and SGA Partners. We have uploaded our results presentation on the exchanges, and I hope everyone has had a chance to have a look at it. I will now request Mr. Agrawal for his opening remarks. Atul, sir.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Pankaj. I welcome to you all a call for Q1 FY25 results. Let me start with a brief overview on the industry. The industry witnessed uptake in its growth, led by double-digit growth in two-wheeler and three-wheeler segments, respectively. According to SIAM, the overall auto wholesaling domestic market went up by 16.4% in Q1 FY25 to 64 lakh units, up from close to 55 lakh units in the same period last year. Total automobile sales include 10,26,000 units of PV, up 3% from 9,96,000 units in Q1 FY24. Furthermore, we anticipate a tactical shift by OEMs from manufacturing pure-play EVs to hybrid models gradually going ahead. On the industry front, the demand for automobiles was a bit muted during Q1 FY25. The EV two-wheeler industry continues to gain momentum, and the cumulative sales stood at 182,000 units in Q1 FY25. Hybrid PVs are getting more attention from OEMs, which aligns well with our EV focus. Our total income from standalone business grew by 9.6% to 162.9 crores on a year-on-year basis. Revenue growth in QY25 versus QY24 is primarily driven by good demand in the two-wheeler business and stable demand in the passenger vehicle segment. The EBITDA has increased by 14.5% year-on-year, coupled with improvement in margins to 14.8% in QY25 from 14.1% in QY24. PAT surged 41% to 11.4 crores on a year-on-year basis. The company's focus was achieving higher sales, and it is well positioned to capture the incremental market share going forward. SGM continues to gain traction, with total income witnessing a growth of 62% on a year-on-year basis. The revenue share of SGM in the overall business has risen from 33% in Q1 FY24 to 43% in Q1 FY25. We are working to add to our EV product portfolio and continue to focus on customer diversification too. Now, I would request our Group CFO, Mr. Pankaj Gupta, to give brief insights on the financial performance.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I'll now give the financial highlights for the Q1 FY25. Starting from the standalone numbers for Q1 FY25, the income grew by 9.6% year-over-year to 162.9 crores against 148.6 crores in Q1 FY24. EBITDA increased by 14.5% year-over-year to 24.1 crores as compared to 21 crores in Q1 FY24. The margins increased from 14.1%-14.8% in this quarter. Profit after tax witnessed a growth of 41%, reaching to 11.4 crores in this quarter as compared to 8.1 crores in quarter 1 FY24. Profit after tax increased by 160 basis points year over year to 7% in quarter 1 FY25 as against 5.4% in quarter 1 FY24. Coming to the consolidated financial, the total income grew by 27.3% year over year to rupees 283.7 crores in quarter 1 as against 223 crores in quarter 1 FY24. Adjusted EBITDA, which is excluding the ESOP accounting expense treatment, increased 34%, reaching to 37.1 crore as compared to 27 crores in quarter 1 FY24. And the EBITDA after adjustment of ESOP stood at 13.1% on a consolidated basis. Profit after tax grew 40.9% year over year, reaching to 18.4% as compared to 13.1 crores in quarter 1 FY24. Profit after tax margin on a consolidated basis stood at 6.5% in quarter 1 FY25. Thank you everyone. We may now begin with question and answer session, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants present on the audio bridge who wish to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Rohit Mehra from SK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, good morning and thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions and my first one is how should we look at our growth vis-a-vis the industry growth for FY25?
So let me take this. I think for our standalone business, we are up close to 10%. We believe it's, I think, industry has grown primarily in three-wheeler segments. PV is only up 3%. Commercial vehicles are flat or negative. So I think we are probably a few percentage points plus on the industry growth overall. But I think we have done better, and this is what we always was in the last few calls, that we grow in our standalone business by a few percentage points faster than the industry.
Okay, got it. And my second question is, out of the overall revenue from SGEM, what is the contribution for LCV category? And how should we look at the LCV contribution for the entire year?
Good morning, this is Jaydeep. The LCV category is still, I mean, if you look at our... our presentation, we had mentioned that our non-two-wheeler sales are at 7%. LCV is a part of that. So LCV is still a small percentage of our total revenue. We are not still seeing traction. I think the industry is waiting for some kind of announcements from the government on FAME. So we should move forward. Our expectation is that, I can't say that for the full year basis because, you know, we're already 4 months into the year. But by the third and fourth quarters, our expectation and hope is that LCV business should be 10% of our total revenues. But I have to say that this will depend to some part in what announcements the government makes on FAME 3. Or whatever other policy they come up with.
Yeah, got it. So it depends upon whatever the subsidy will come from government, right?
Yeah. I think what we'll see is that the numbers are available on Vahan or elsewhere that, you know, we've got business awards from all of the major LCV companies, the business still has not taken off despite our expectations that this will be one of the segments of the industry that will see the highest penetration. So I think we now got the right product. You know, we always talk about the fact that penetration will happen once we have the right product. I mean, we started seeing a growth in two-wheelers once Ola and Acer gave the consumer products that were worthwhile. I think in the LCV segment, we now have the right products available to the consumer. We just need a little bit of a nudge from the government, and we should see very good penetration in this segment.
Yeah, got it. Thank you for the elaborative answer. And that's it from my side. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Payal Shah from Billions Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I have two questions. First, how do we see the overall demand for fasteners in FY25?
Overall demand, like I said, industry seems to be moving on a slope as we are in the first quarter numbers. Passing vehicles are struggling, so the motivators, we can talk about our numbers, and I think our first quarter is representative of where we see our business to be this year. A couple of percentage points, maybe plus on that. But that's where we see our business, keeping in mind the overall total of industry. And we will still be faster in the industry.
Okay. So my next question is on what are the developments with Yongin? Do we have any further details on the partnership front?
Nish, you are there?
Hi, this is Anish. I think on the Yongin front, we have good progress in terms of discussions with customers, business plan creation, etc. Hopefully, you should see some developments by the end of this fiscal year.
Okay. Thank you so much for the answers. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Raj Malhotra from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so thank you for giving me the opportunity. So my first question was, what is the revenue contribution from top 5 customers in SGEM, and how are we looking to reduce the high customer concentration for this fiscal year?
We haven't looked at it from the top 5 perspective, but I would say the top 5 would be, a very high percentage, well north of 90%. But I've not calculated the number, but definitely above 90% because the smaller customers haven't taken off yet. This is a core part of our strategy. We're continuing to look at other customers. I think when you look at the how the market has evolved, in the two-wheeler segment, there is a fair amount of concentration of our OEs. So if you look at how this has evolved, a lot of smaller players that were active last year have fallen away already, and Ola as number one, TVS, Bajaj, Ather following that are the bulk of the market share in the two-wheeler segment. In the three-wheeler segment also, we are seeing a fair amount of consolidation with companies like Mahindra, Euler, and others doing fairly well. Our belief is that our concentration will, we will definitely reduce on one or two customers, as we move forward. But if you look at a top five or top five, top 10 type of concentration, that will always remain high because our customers are consolidated.
Okay, sir, got it. That was helpful. And then I have another question. So are we working with our top customers to manufacture MCUs for the new model launches?
Definitely. I mean, so, you know, when we started this business, so our customers were looking at very short launch cycles because everyone wanted to be in the market first. Today the scenario has changed. And we are working with companies on programs that are two and three years out. So we are talking to customers for models that they will launch in, you know, the first half of or the first quarter of FY26 and so on and so forth, calendar year 26 and so on. So those advanced engagements, which are typical of the auto industry, are ongoing.
Okay. Thank you so much. That was very helpful. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj Joshi from Ace Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. So thank you for the opportunity. So I have a couple of questions. So how do you see the raw material pricing for FY25? Do you see softening of the raw material prices and how much it will lead to the margin accretion on the standalone basis?
So I think commodity prices or steel prices for our product line seem quite stable right now. The softness is there, but it's not a dramatic drop in prices. And even there's a margin improvement in prices, you know, the impact into margin structure is marginal. It may be a mathematical equation issue, but otherwise there's a pass through to the customer who comes through. So like we have a similar pass-through when the prices grow up. I think there's a similar process for when the steel prices drop as well. So, you know, it may not lead to much margin improvement, but except, you know, unless there's a dramatic drop from that.
Okay. So with our current export share at 3%, we are looking to increase this percentage further. And do we have any specific goal in your mind for FY26 or 27?
So I think export market is definitely one of our weak links. We are working on some programs, but we don't have any hard visibility on numbers or percentages today. We keep you posted as and when we have some dramatic improvements in that.
So coming to our current capacity utilization for the both fastener and MCU business, where are we standing today?
Sorry?
Capacity utilization.
Yeah. So I think this issue has come up in various investor calls. We have mentioned that Bangalore plant was set up 3 years ago. That's been optimized. I think there's more balancing capex coming in that facility. We believe once the Bangalore plant is fully balanced, capex is invested to optimize and balance the facility. We can say increase their revenue by about 20-25% over where we are right now for this financial year. So I think there's another headroom to grow 20% on a capacity basis.
Okay. And so my last question is, any new customer have we added in any of the business verticals?
For fastener, I think we have our customer portfolio includes pretty much every OEM customer we have. We have entered business with Honda IKEA. And I think on a medium-term perspective, this particular customer will give a lot of bump to us in our revenue in the next couple of years because Honda IKEA market share is quite respectable in the passenger vehicle business today.
And I can just add that in the in our Sterling GTEC business, we have added customers in the three-wheeler and LCV space, as well as a customer in the entry-level electric scooter space. So these are revenues that we expect to see kick in by the end of this year.
So can you please name the name of the customers in three-wheeler and LCV?
I'd prefer not to do that, please, because we end up getting into problems on our non-compete obligations when we do that. NDA obligations when we say that on in a public platform like this.
Okay, no problem. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Raj Mehta from Mehta Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah. What is the CAPEX target estimated to be spent in financial year 25 and what areas will be the further plan to invest?
So go ahead.
You're talking about standalone or a consolidated basis?
Consolidated basis.
I think we are looking to share a CAPEX plan between all our businesses put together about 55 odd crore.
And that's nearly, I mean, I won't say exactly, but nearly split equally between the two businesses.
Okay, I have one more question. How should we look at the selling and tools in 3 to 5 years down the line? What would be the contribution from the new business and what area we are further looking at?
Well, you know, you're giving a long time frame. I think we believe that the new businesses will probably have 60 to 65% of our revenue going forward. Currently, it's at 43% levels. We expect to go to about 60% plus levels.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Payal Shah from Building Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so I have a few follow-up questions. First, how do you see our top-line growth for this fiscal on consolidated basis? Can we touch 1,200 crores roughly this year?
Payal, 1,200 crores seems to be like an aggressive number. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we are up 28% for the full quarter, for the first quarter on a consolidated basis. We believe that it will be difficult to maintain this momentum quarter on quarter on a full year basis. So I would probably look at a more muted number from that, a lower number from that level. So yeah, you can say the numbers will be quite healthy over last year.
Okay, sir. So my next question is, can you highlight a couple of growth drivers ahead for fasteners and EV component business?
So on the fasteners, I think what we've been trying to say is that we are looking to grow 54 percentage points over and above the total automotive industry, which is what we have done in the first quarter. We are not looking at dramatic growth in that business because we don't see many opportunities to grow that business on a volume basis, which we may be expecting. So that would be our view on that fastener business. On our new businesses, yes, we expect to grow at faster pace. Debbie, do you want to comment on that?
So on our EV business, the two growth drivers will be customer acquisition and new product introductions. We see ourselves as solution providers to the EV industry and hope to add additional product lines. These are ongoing negotiations. These won't add revenue in this year, but for FY26 we will see revenue coming from additional product range that we will sell to the same customers.
Thank you so much for the detailed answer. I have a last question. At a standalone level, our finance cost is on a lower side on a YOY basis. So I just wanted to understand, like, have we repaid any debt in the quarter and how should we look at debt levels for the entire year?
So
So I'll take that question. Yes, sir. So we have been quite efficient in terms of our cost of borrowing, which is quite healthy. We have repaid term loans, and we are funding our capex largely from our internal accruals. That is the second reason. And of course, I don't see much change in working capital deployment per se. And we have at a net debt position, just for the understanding, we are nearly debt free. So these are the reasons for lower finance cost.
That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jehan from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Sir, my question is on the MCU business.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Sir, could you please use your handset?
Yeah. What stops the OEM from, all the OEMs from going into direct manufacturing of motor control units?
Okay, so Jehan, this is a question. The short answer is nothing. The elaborative answer is it's a very complex issue. When the auto industry started off in the early 1900s, everything was made in-house by all of these companies, right? And over a period of time, this was all pushed out to ancillaries, and then these ancillaries were at a certain stage, they were all owned by the OEM. So Delphi, Visteon, Magneti, Marelli were all owned by these majors. After some time, these companies were sold and became standalone companies. At least in the internal combustion space, people decided that their job was to make vehicles and not to make components, and that was something they don't do at all. In the EV space, we obviously have two large companies, Tesla and BYD, who do manufacture everything in-house. Other than these two, everyone else follows an outsourced model. So what do we expect what can we expect? I mean, at least in my opinion, I have to say this is only my opinion, there will always be a hybrid model. There will be companies that will want to make their components in-house, and there will be companies that will say this is not our job. Our job is to design a great product, make sure that we can get it to the customer and to service the customer. And, there will be different philosophies to this, so they will be, and so this will always, I don't think that either model will go away. I mean, both the models will exist. It depends a lot on the company's technical capabilities. Tesla started off as a tech company. For them to develop products was different. Companies like even global majors like Volkswagen and others have struggled to get their EV strategy right, and they've really struggled to get the products going, etc. So I think that for companies that have a grounding in mechanical engineering and automotive engineering to switch and become hardware and software companies will be that much more difficult. If companies launch numerous models every year, as some companies do, it'll be very difficult to do everything in-house. But if companies have a vision of making products and selling them in very large volumes, they may want to go in house.
Right. Thank you, sir. Who would be your largest customer and the percentage share in total revenues?
Our largest customer has been Ola.
Yeah.
Ola has been our largest customer for quite some time, and I believe, and Ola is more than 50% market share of the two-wheeler market. I mean, and if you look at the overall industry, they dominate that. So obviously, they're as we are a single source supplier to them, we are, you know, we are, they are a big percentage of our business.
Understood. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Chinmay Nema from Prescient Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Firstly, on the MCU business, so when we talk to the other companies in space, some of them talk about the importance of manufacturing controller units and motors both in the idea is that it gives you better control over fine-tuning, optimization. Any color or thoughts on this claim, how important this is and how do OEMs look at this?
Integrating the motors and controllers and doing the characterization is very important. We've been able to manage this by having very close working relationships with motor companies, and therefore our customers have never faced a problem where they have not been able to get either the performance or they've had us and the motor suppliers, or the motor suppliers and us blaming each other. We've not had a situation where we said it's a motor problem and the motor guys have said it's the MCU problem, because we work very closely. But there is a very close linkage between the two, and we feel that in the future the other thing you may have heard is that there will also be an integration between motors and controllers, that they will put them into the same physical packaging, and that's again something that we explore with motor partners to say how can we provide such a solution to our customers. So it's very important to for the customer to find have a seamless solution, and we've been able to do that. We've been able to manage that quite effectively with the way we work with our motor companies.
Understood, sir. Second thing is same on the MCU business. So just trying to understand how nimble is this business, in the sense that we see some companies, some two-wheeler EV manufacturers running into subsidy issues. The market shares and volumes have changed very rapidly in the last few months. So how easy or difficult is it for you to get a new client or let go of an existing one, start manufacturing for a newer one? Just trying to get some sense on that.
So you're absolutely correct. I mean, we've only got a 3-year history. I mean, from the date we started production to now, it's not even been 3 years. Okay. And the company's been in existence for just over 4 years. And I can't tell you the number of times we've had to change direction as far as product policy or product strategy was concerned. When we started off, the business was all low speed. It was dominated by Okinawa and Hero Electric, and they thought the market was 1.5 kilowatt. Ola came in and took the market to 6 kilowatt. They wanted 100 kmph top speed on a scooter, which was unheard of. And we were able to produce that. Once FAME went away, and this happened in May last year with no notice, when the government suddenly slashed the subsidies, all the companies changed their product policy and changed their product positioning and started making lower power rating models, and 3 and 4 kilowatt and hub motors became the norm. And we've now we've been able to adapt. So we've been fairly nimble so far. We've been able to keep up with the moves of the market. I hope we'll be able to do that in the future. That's our intent. Our strategy is that, look, and this will continue to happen. I mean, the industry is still very, very nascent. I mean, it's government policy plays a big part. Technology plays a big part. So the way we look at it is that we need to build the competency
in our case, in power electronics. And that's what we are focusing on. As the industry moves, we'll have to move with it. So I mean, we're not trying to define ourselves as specialists in a product, but more a specialist in a competency or in a technology. So I hope that with what we have done and what we are hoping to do, that we'll be able to continue to move quickly to market requirements, because we know for sure the market will change constantly.
Understood, sir. And my last question is, on the growth drivers for the EV business, you said that new products would be one of the levers. So from a 3 to 5 years perspective, could you talk about some of the new products that you intend to get into?
As Atul said earlier, 3 to 5 years is a long time out. In the EV industry, it's a lifetime. We want to play in every aspect of the power and control electronics in an EV, across all segments. Not only, like for instance, today we are not present in PV, passenger vehicles. We would want to play in all segments in anything to do with power electronics and control electronics. That's the vision for the company.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press *1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Raj Joshi from Ace Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. So thank you for the again opportunity. So I have a few more questions. Sir, have you made any price hikes in the fastener business during the quarter?
No, we have not. It's all a volume growth.
It is all about the volume growth.
Yes.
Okay. Sir, what are the capacity level of Bangalore plant and the utilization, and by when do we feel this plant will get fully utilized, and will there be any further capex needed?
So, I think Bangalore currently at about 45-50% levels of where it should be. We are doing a balancing capex there as we speak this financial year. And this Bangalore will be fully optimized by FY26.
Okay, and are we expecting any further capex over there?
Like I said, we have some balancing capex going on for this year and next financial year. It is not a dramatic capex, but we have some balancing capex going on along with quality measures. But nothing, not a very substantial number.
Okay. And sir, for our EV business, what is the current trend in terms of localization? Is there any further scope of manufacturing some parts in-house and lower our dependence on imports?
Not right now. I mean, I think maybe once the Yongin venture gets off the ground, we'll be able to buy some components from them. But as of now, there is no semiconductor manufacturing or component manufacturing in India that we can leverage.
Okay. And sir, what is our EBITDA margin in HU business, and can we achieve double-digit margins in FY25?
No, that's I think we've spoken about that. We believe that the steady state EBITDA margin for this business will be in the low double digits, but it's not something that we'll be able to get to this year. It's probably something that we will aspire to in FY26 or maybe even FY27.
Okay. And so,
we'll definitely see an improvement on last year.
Okay. And as the festive season is going to come up, so how do we look at the overall demand scenario?
Sorry, you broke up in the first part of that question. Could you repeat that, please?
Sir, as the festive season is going to come up, so how do you look at overall demand scenario?
Look,
look, a lot depends on what the government does with FAME. I mean, if you're talking about EV, I mean, the government's announcement of a FAME 3 will definitely help. It's the right thing to do. You know, I'll give you a data point. The Chinese government over the last 15 years has spent, to our understanding, just under $300 billion. $300 billion in various subsidies for the EV industry. Okay? I think you guys know how much was the allocation in FAME 1 and FAME 2. So if we are serious about having to actually reduce carbon emissions and you know, move forward on electrification, which is the right thing to do for the environment, I think we need greater consistency and clarity in our policies.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you all of you for joining the call today. I hope you are able to address all the queries we had. If there is a further clarification, you can reach out to us. And it's always a pleasure to connect with you. Thank you very much.
On behalf of Sterling Tool Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.